You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It's time to update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. Let's get to the news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, this is about 2 minutes. It's a little long, but I think it's worth every second. Here is Travis Kelce, all pro tight end, future Hall of Famer, now a two-time Super Bowl champion. And you know this, if the Kelce brothers ever want to go into the WWE, or maybe AEW with Tony Khan, they could be tag team champions. There's no doubt about that. World champions, because we all remember the Jason Kelce speech. We have heard Travis Kelce before. Jason Kelce may have one of the greatest victory parade speeches I've ever heard. But let's hear the 2 minutes today. This is Travis Kelce at the Kansas City Chiefs victory parade for after winning the Super Bowl.
Let me take you back to 2022 in the month of maybe April. Maybe. Guys were getting signed left and right. The haters were saying that the Chiefs would never make the playoffs. The haters were saying the Chiefs were done. If you knew the Chiefs were gonna win the division, let me hear you say, hell yeah. All right now. If you knew the Chiefs were gonna get the number one seed, let me hear you say, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I knew it, you knew it, but they ain't know it. If y'all knew that Patrick Mahomes was gonna win the MVP, let me get a hell yeah. If you knew the Kansas City Chiefs, we're gonna have the best offense in the National Football League. Let me hear you say, na-na-na-na. That's a good one right there. I like that one right there. If you knew Chris Jones was gonna be the best defensive player in the nation, let me hear you say, I feel so good, don't it? Let me hear you say, na 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 na. All right, all right, all right. Hey, Chiefs Kingdom, we do this for you guys. I want you guys to genuinely know this. We do this for you guys.
So here's my question. That is like classic Kelce brother. Like, nothing will ever top the Jason Kelce victory speech when he's dressed up as a mummer in Philadelphia. And he's like, Lane Johnson was on the juice. That was great. It was a whole damn team. And he just went through everyone that was basically getting written off by the media and then also by fans. Some clown named Mike Lombardi. When he said that Doug Peterson was the least qualified coaching hire ever. That was good. That was solid. How much is that just normal Kelce brothers being Kelce brothers, or was that a lot of the alcohol talking right there?
I think a little bit of both.
If you had to pick one.
I think that's really honestly who he is. The alcohol helps him a little bit, but that's pretty authentic if you ask me.
I would concur. The only part where I think the alcohol really kicked in was the nah. I think he was in the shower probably doing his best thinking. He's like, okay, how am I going to do the victory speech? Okay, let me get a hell yeah! Hell yeah! And you do all that. And then once it got to the nah, that's where I think it got.
I agree with you on that part. But yeah, most of it is pretty authentic when you hear from him.
That was the alcohol talking on the
Yeah, I would say so.
All right, let's go to Patrick Mahomes talking about how the Chiefs were, and I say this in air quotes, rebuilding, and now they're world champions.
Before we start this season,
The AFC West said we were rebuilding. I'm be honest with you, I don't know what rebuilding means. In our rebuilding year, we're world champs. We're world champs.
Yeah, I don't think anyone was saying that the Chiefs were rebuilding. It was just, how are they going to be without Tyreek Hill? Like, you have to be a real, like, it's one thing to say, okay, they weren't going to win the division. It's one thing to say they weren't going to win the Super Bowl. But when you have 15 and 87 and also Andy Reid, if you were someone that said the Chiefs were going to miss the playoffs, and I think that is a very, 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 very minuscule amount of people, then either you're just an idiot or you were just looking for a little clickbait stuff and a little material so you get some clicks going your way. I don't think anyone in their right mind genuinely believe that the Chiefs are going to miss the playoffs before the start of the season. But when you have a great team and you have some great players, not that winning gets old, but you got to find a way to dig a little bit deeper and get that extra motivation. And now there's just so many ways that people could get to you, whether it's a relevant troll face, egg face, 2-6-4-7-18-9, carry the 2-1-6-3 on Twitter, whatever it is. Or you just turn on the television and people right away are trashing teams that don't deserve to be trashed. And I do believe that Mahomes had his most impressive year yet as a pro. Most passing yards, not the most passing touchdowns. Because you take Tyreek Hill away and look at the diversity of the weapons. Like, outside of Kelsey, there's no great other weapons on the offensive side of the ball to throw to. Like, the running backs are Sky Moore, Isaiah Pacheco, Jerick McKinnon. You look at the wide receivers like Juju Smith-Schuster, solid. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, solid. Kadarius Toney, okay. But you see the way that Mahomes, who is the ultimate point guard this year and why he is the most valuable player of the league, just dominated and spread out that football. It just, once again, not that you need a reminder, but once again shows you how great 15 can be and will continue to be. So this is on the New Heights podcast. That is the Travis and Jason Kelce podcast, which their last episode before this one was actually aired or broadcasted adjacent to us. We were on Radio Row last week. And I look up, I go, it's like, I think the 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern time hour, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time hour. I forget which one it was. And I look up and go, that looks like Travis Kelce. I'm like, oh, that looks like Jason Kelce. I'm like, oh, that is Travis and Jason Kelce. And they were filming their podcast and taping their podcast. So I guess this was the first episode post-Super Bowl where Travis defeats Jason and the Kelce brothers shared a moment when talking about their mom, who was an absolute star all throughout the Super Bowl week.
The moment I saw mom is when I got really emotional because, man, it was so awesome. It was
all right now.
Yeah. Oh man, it was awesome for, you know, she was on top of the world for a week.
She was the heavyweight champ, man. She was on top of it and she shined the whole time, man. That was the coolest part. Mom, you absolutely killed it. Dad, you've been killing it.
Yep. It was just so cool, man, to see, you know, her get to celebrate in that with us.
Yeah, I'm with you, brother.
It was an awesome moment.
That's great.
Just so happy for her and so happy that, you know, she got her moment. Dad got his. So, yeah, I was the only, ironically, you know, you lose the Super Bowl and you're crying after the game and they're not tears of sadness. You know, they're tears of joy.
That's wonderful. Like, here you have two ferocious football players. Like, two absolute legends and maulers. And you bring up mom, and everyone's crying. Everyone's a mama's boy. And, you know, I'm jealous of people that aren't mama's boys.
That really makes me want to go back and watch that whole interview now, because that was really something there.
That was great.
Yeah.
And that's the neat part about the athletes that now do podcasts is you get moments like that. Like Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden. I know Brian's retired. They do a really good podcast together. But you get moments like that when you hear Jason and Travis Kelce, which that was a huge storyline all throughout the week. And still to have that moment where it's Jason who lost and he's like, mom just really got me. And then he starts crying and then his brother starts crying. That was bleeping awesome. And I love how they throw the dad in there at the end. Because Mama Kelce got all the attention. Papa Kelce, not so much.
I don't think I saw the dad once.
Well, I actually saw the dad. And there was one radio host here at CBS Sports Radio that big time the father.
And who was that?
That is our great colleague, Maggie Gray. So,
wow.
I told you I was there broadcasting right next to them when they were recording their podcast on Radio Row. Maggie forgot her iPhone charger on Radio Row. And you could obviously listen to Maggie and Perloff Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern on many of the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 158, and the free Odyssey app. There we go. I'll be a company guy. So Samter, their producer's like texting me while I'm on the air. My phone was charging. Can you bring the charger back to the hotel? Blah, blah. And I just didn't see any of these messages. So when my show ends, Maggie comes back to Radio Row to get her charger because I was like, just had no clue what was going on that she needed this charger. And I was like, oh, I would have brought it to you, but I didn't see your message until afterwards. My phone was charging. And we're sitting there seeing the Kelces wrap up their podcast. And they had like an entourage with them. There was a lot of people associated with security, all that, which you need during Super Bowl week. So it's myself. Andrew Filipponi does a good job here, CBS Sports Radio, and then also Afternoons in Pittsburgh. It was myself, Andrew Filipponi, and Maggie Graham. We're all talking. And the Kelces walk by. And you see Travis and Jason, and then you see the mom. And Nagy goes, good luck this week to all. So the mom goes, thank you. And right behind the mother was Papa Kelce. And Papa Kelce goes to give like a fist pump or a high five to Maggie. And once Maggie saw Mama Kelce, because you know what the mother looks like, you like turn your head and go back to the conversation that we were having. And Andrew Filipponi goes, you know that Papa Kelce just tried to dap you up and you left him hanging. And she said, what? And it was like the dad was just in the background all week.
Bad job by Maggie right there.
Well,
I like Maggie, but that's a bad job.
Maggie was like, just so upset about it. She goes, wait, are you serious? Now, Maggie Gray, let me tell you, there's always interesting encounters with Maggie Gray on Radio Row. 2 years ago, Barry Sanders, I kid you not, I was talking to Maggie. Barry Sanders comes up and goes, Maggie, great to see you. How are you? And then kept on walking, like in passing. And Maggie looks at me. She goes, you heard that, right? And I go, yeah, Barry Sanders knows who you are. And then the next year, she just ruined it because she left Papa Kelce hanging.
Are we going to do a stock down for Maggie later?
No. That's past the statute of limitations. I just wanted to tell the story. All righty. You have to pause when you say this owner's name. Clark, pause. Hunt, the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
I had my finger right over the delay there just in case.
Yeah, you don't want a tongue twister there. The owner of the Chiefs, let's just say, on Andy Reid.
I said it after the Super Bowl, and I'll say it again. We've known for a long time that Andy Reid is a Hall of Fame coach, but I'll take it a step further. I truly believe that Andy is one of the greatest coaches in the history of the NFL.
No, he's 100% right. When you say you're going to take it a step further, I thought he was going to say he's the greatest coach ever, which he's not. But he's definitely one of the greatest coaches of all time. Let's hear the owner of the Chiefs, Clark. Pause, Hunt on Patrick Mahomes.
And of course, the guys in uniform who made it all happen on the field. This is a remarkable group of men led by the undisputed best player in pro football, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick is a generational talent, and he's the first person this century to win both the MVP and Super Bowl MVP honors in the same season.
I got to have the owner be a little bit more of the life of the party there. Nick, that sounds like he was reading off a script, no?
Oh, 100%. Like, I didn't think anything he was going to say would be that great to even grab for this. But but he gave me a couple sound bites with Andy Reid and Mahomes. But overall, Kelce, way better. Just should have given more time to Kelce.
Let's hear one more from Clark. Pause. Hunt has a little message to all the haters.
Heading into training camp, a lot of the so-called experts counted us out. They said we were going to take a step back. They said our division was too tough and that we would be lucky to even make the playoffs. But we knew better. This team knew better. And Chiefs Kingdom, you knew better. I am so proud of this team, their fight, their resilience, their heart. They didn't listen to the noise. They were motivated by the doubters because they knew we had everything we needed to make another run. As the great Mitch Holthus told the world, you can doubt the Chiefs, you can dislike the Chiefs, you can disrespect the Chiefs, but you're going to have to deal with the Chiefs.
You could kind of tell that the owner wasn't really resonating with the crowd, where for Travis Kelce, everyone's like, hell yeah! And then for Clark, it was a few screams here or there. Kind of was like, okay, talk a little bit too long here.
Yeah, it was definitely a big contrast. It was like a political speech. Yeah. I'm not even going to say his name. I'll leave that to you. For him, but Kelce was like, just blew it out of the park, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Come on. If you had a victory parade and you're reading off a, and I don't know what the visuals look like of this, but it sounds like he's reading off a piece of paper. That's a bad job. Like, at least as an owner, just like do what Bob Kraft does on the podium. You can't like understand a word he says because he's had a few pops and he's like, we're all Patriots, and tonight once again the Patriots are world champions. Like, at least you know he's liquored up a little bit and having some fun there. In Robert Kraft. Alrighty, I'll play you one more. This was Steve Spagnuolo on with us yesterday. I asked him about Jerick McKinnon going down at the 2-yard line. This is what Spags had to say. I thought it was a very unselfish play by McKinnon because he could have easily walked in that end zone and then you guys would have to go back on the field and who knows what would have happened. In that moment, I'm sure you were happy that that he went down right at the 1 or 2 yard line.
Well, to be honest with you, Zach, I have mixed feelings. He's an intelligent. I love that kid, and it was an intelligent play. But part of me, after giving up that touchdown, part of me wanted to go back out and close it somehow. You know, I mean, I knew that we were going to score or get a field goal or something in there. And, you know, the pride in you as a defensive coach or a defensive player is you want to go out and help close it for your team. But exceptional move by him on that, the Jet, as we call him. Just a real smart football player. Team guy, right? I mean, he got a chance to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl, and he doesn't do it because he realizes the most important thing is to win the game. So my hat goes off to him.
Were you surprised they called holding on that 3rd and 8 to give you guys the first down?
You know, I haven't seen the play, so I don't really know. I mean, listen, I know in games we've played, we've had that against us too. So however they saw it, they saw it. And, you know, listen, again, if they don't call the holding penalty, I believe we kick a field goal, and then I got confidence that our guy's going to go out and find a way to win in a 3-point game. But they called, and that's the way it is, so we'll take it.
So here's the thing. I understand where he's coming from. He's a competitor. He's the defensive coordinator. His defense did not play great in the game, and he made that clear a bunch of times with us. He wanted to be one of the main reasons why they won, where they make like a big stop. And if I'm Jerick McKinnon, this may be extremely selfish of me, I know there's still 2 minutes left in the game. If I have an opportunity to score the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl, I'm not going down at the 2. I'm going to the end zone and saying, Spags, your defense better go make a stop. But I'll give credit to Greg Olsen. He was all over that for the time. He's like, go down. He's got to go down. And then Jerick McKinnon did go down at the 2, so it's an extremely unselfish play. If that was you, Theodoro, would you have had the stones in that spot 2 yards out, potentially scoring the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl to slide it to 2 so you could basically just run the clock and then kick a game-winning field goal and leave like 5 to 10 seconds left?
Listen, at my size, if I'm going full speed, There's no way I'm able to stop short like that. I'm going all in. There's no way I could, you know, hit the brakes for a
quick. Genius. Let's say you're a running back.
All right, so let's say.
You're not in your current body.
Okay, not in my current
you're
body.
You're Jerick McKinnon.
All right, well, that's hard to imagine. But, yeah, if you're in the moment, it's pretty hard to think, all right, let me stop here just so, you know, it'll give my team a better chance to hold on. But
even if Andy told me to do so and Eric Bieniemy said to do so, I'm like, sorry.
Sorry, I'm scoring a touchdown in the Super Bowl. No.
That's me. Yeah. Now, it could be really bad then if Hurts got the ball back, it's a seven-point game. Or you miss the extra point or something like that, and they go down the field, and then everyone's going to label you as the zero.
Exactly. So you try to avoid that, but that would be the last thing on my mind, honestly. I would not be thinking about that.
But I was surprised by that answer by Spags. But that shows you how much he wanted to go out there and be the reason why they won the game. So I kind of respect it. And also with coordinators, like, he's just on the defense side of the ball. He gets so plugged in on the defensive side of the ball. Like, that's what you're in charge of. So when the offense basically doesn't let you back on the field, yeah, you win. And you win the Super Bowl, and you can acknowledge it's a unselfish play. But then selfishly, you want your unit to make the big stop at the end. All right, that's the News Brief. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You know, we had Lijay Dusabal on in the last hour. He said that Jalen Hurts was the best player in the Super Bowl. He's 100% right. Now, I know that he had the one fumble that led to the touchdown, but he had three rushing touchdowns, 70 yards rushing, and he had over 300 yards passing and a passing touchdown. Jalen Hurts did his part for the Eagles to win the game, and anytime there was adversity, like after the fumble, answer back with a touchdown. When they go down by eight, answers back with a touchdown, and then somehow got in the end zone for a two-point conversion. And we're going to do a little exercise here. Best opportunity to dethrone Hurts in the NFC and then Mahomes in the AFC. In the AFC, there's so many names. But you look at the NFC, like who's the quarterback that you trust the most to dethrone Jalen Hurts? Like I don't trust Dak Prescott in a big spot. Geno Smith and Jared Goff and Daniel Jones, like I know, had good seasons, but how consistent will they be? Kirk Cousins, don't trust him in a big spot. Aaron Rodgers, probably going to get traded this offseason from the Green Bay Packers. Brady now retired. There's no quarterbacks in the NFC South. Murray, I don't know how great he can be, and also we don't know when Kyler's going to come back. So, like, you look around the NFC, probably the answer. And I don't love the next few years of maybe his career and that team because I think there's guys that have one foot in, one foot out, and he just dealt with a bad injury. It's probably Stafford. Because the Rams missed the playoffs this year, but they had so many injuries. But what concerns me with the Rams is, like, Donald has all that retirement conversation. I don't know how much longer he's going to last there. McVay. Now every offseason for the last two, it's is he going to stay or is he going to go? So it does concern me with the Rams. I'm not saying they're the second best team. It's just which quarterback. Because, like, you look at the Niners. The Niners are the best opportunity next year to dethrone the Eagles. But can I trust Brock Purdy? Can I trust Trey Lance? I don't know who's going to be starting for them. So I go through the NFC, and let's just operate under the assumption that Rodgers is going to get dealt this offseason to the AFC. I think the quarterback that I trust the most to dethrone Jalen Hurts, and this is not me saying that this will definitely happen just because I don't feel great about any of these quarterbacks in the NFC right now outside of Jalen Hurts is Stafford. Like, you go through every quarterback right now, potentially next year in the NFC. Dak Prescott, good regular season player. In the postseason, comes up small. Daniel Jones, had a solid year. I don't know how sustainable that is. Right now, Sam Howell is going to be starting at quarterback for the Commanders. Thanks, but no thanks. Niners. Purdy was a good story for 6-7 games. Can he do it over an entire season? And if it's Trey Lance, can he be the guy that they thought he could be? Geno Smith. Good story. Comeback player of the year. I'm not trusting him to take down Jalen Hurts in a big game. Stafford's one that you could trust. But then you get concerned about the injuries and the direction of the team. Kyler Murray, I can't trust right now. Kirk Cousins, really good regular season player, does not show up in the big moments in the postseason. You look at Jared Goff, good year this year. How sustainable is that? We'll see. Justin Fields, maybe one day, but that team's nowhere close to winning. And there's not a quarterback right now in the NFC South that you feel good about. So you look at trying to, not saying this is a lock that the Eagles get back to the Super Bowl next year, but going into next year, on paper, the best quarterback in the NFC is Jalen Hurts. And you would have never thought we would have said that before the start of this season. Now, in the AFC, who has the best chance to dethrone Mahomes? It's still Joe Burrow. Because Burrow beat them three times before losing in that AFC title game. Now, after that, that's where the conversation gets a little bit fun. Because the three names that I go to after Mahomes and Burrow in the AFC, Josh Allen is still definitely one. But that team did not get to the spot that we thought they were going to get to before this season. And I think the number one important thing this offseason for the Bills is to take a little bit off the plate of Josh Allen. You look at Trevor Lawrence, I think he's set up to succeed in Jacksonville for a while. Year number one, not only did they get to the playoffs, they have that comeback, and then they lose in the divisional round to Kansas City, and that division just stinks. And then you look at the next name, it's probably Justin Herbert. He's really damn good. But the thing that we're concerned about with the Chargers is their coach and Brandon Staley. Now, the other name you got to consider, and I don't know what Russ is going to be, so I can't say Russell Wilson. I don't know what Deshaun Watson's going to be. Basically, like, out of the game for 2 years. I know he came back and he was rusty. Tua, I don't know if he'll be healthy. Maybe Rodgers goes to one of those AFC teams that changes your view on them. But the other name that you have to throw into the conversation is Lamar Jackson. The problem with Lamar, though, is I don't know if he'll be on the Ravens roster come week one. Like, you look at Lamar Jackson, I would be surprised, really surprised, if Lamar Jackson is inked to a long-term deal this offseason. Not that he isn't deserving, but they haven't got it done the last two offseasons. And the first go-around, I understood why it did not get done. It didn't make sense for Lamar to get the deal done. But last year, it did make sense for Lamar Jackson to get a deal done. And whether it was his fault or the Ravens' fault, that deal did not get done. So do I think the third time is going to be a charm for Lamar Jackson and they're going to get this deal done? No, I don't. So in the NFC, trying to let me ask this question of Pat Boyle, who just walked in and did not hear anything that we were talking about. In the NFC, just quarterback-wise, and I'm going to operate under the assumption that Rodgers is dealt this offseason to the AFC. Who is the quarterback in the NFC that you trust the most to dethrone Jalen Hurts next year? Not team, quarterback.
It would have to be Kirk Cousins.
Wow.
Maybe I would even trust Goff if they can get that defense, because the Lions offense is a top five unit last year.
My answer, and here's the tricky part. He's coming off an injury. You got a lot of players in that organization, one foot in, one foot out. I said Stafford.
Okay. I mean, I got to see what his neck and back look like.
That's a big concern.
And I got to see if McVay is in on coaching or he's not on coaching. And we're going to get the week 12 rumors that he's thinking about retiring.
Same with Donald.
And Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. That defense ain't getting any younger.
But then look at the AFC. Like, outside of Mahomes, who is the best chance to dethrone him? You would probably say Burrow, right?
Yeah,
Burrow. But then you could also say Josh Allen. You could say maybe down the road, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert.
Yep.
Like, there's names there. And, like, if Lamar stays, I like Lamar a lot, but I just don't think he's going to be there that much longer in Baltimore. And who knows, maybe if Rodgers goes to a team in the AFC, then Rodgers gets in that conversation. The NFC, you don't want to say this because you never know if you're going to get back or not, but this is now Jalen Hurts' conference for the foreseeable future. Doesn't mean he's always going to get there, but there's not another quarterback that's really taking that baton and running with it for the not only the short term, but you could think the long term too.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's huge question marks in the NFC, but if one of them gets answered definitively, I could see the Eagles getting beat in the NFC title game or even before that next year, and that's Purdy. What does he look like for a full season? Because we know that the 49ers are built for their Super Bowl team around the quarterback.
That's not the team, absolutely. Like, if I'm saying one team that has the best chance of throwing them going into next year without even knowing what's going to happen this offseason, yeah, it's the 49ers.
You're saying a quarterback.
But for me, it's quarterback. Like, I don't even know who's starting for them next year. And is Purdy a seven-game wonder? Does Trey Lance get the opportunity because they give up all the draft picks and then he stinks? Like, that's a concern for me.
I would say based off of what they did offensively, Cousins gets a lot of crap, but I mean, they put up numbers. They're a top 10 offense. And Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions, yards per game, points per game, top six in the NFL in both those categories. So, again, if Dan Campbell continues to bite kneecaps and they get a defense, yeah, they could. Dude, the Detroit Lions could be an actual contender for the Super Bowl next year.
And I agree with you on that in terms of being a contender for the Super Bowl. But can you envision Kirk Cousins, who threw the ball short of the sticks, in that game up against Giants? I know he played well other than that. Winning three games. Like, let's say he doesn't get a bye. Three games in the playoffs?
Yeah, and it's a shame that as great of a season that they had, that's the final image for so many folks.
And even Jared Goff. You're right. Jared Goff had a phenomenal season this year. The fact that we're even talking about Jared Goff as a possibility shows you how weak the quarterbacks are in the NFC, but it also shows how good of a season he did have because it's not a crazy answer. The stench around Goff is how much they actually believe in him, but also that Super Bowl performance that he had where they only had 3 points. So it's like, once again, we're talking about dethroning someone. If they don't get a bye, can I trust Jared Goff to win 3 games in the playoffs? Like, that's tough.
Yeah, that is tough, especially because they got smacked by the Eagles when they played him earlier this year.
Now, Pat Boyle, a reason why I do like you is you're a man of confidence. And, you know, sometimes people confuse people that are confident as also being, like, egotistical as well.
Okay.
Now, we had Spagnuolo on yesterday, and I asked this question to Nick Theodore, so I'll ask it to you as well. And Spag said he was actually kind of a little disappointed that Jerick McKinnon fell down onto 2 because he wanted his defense to go make the stop to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I'll ask you this. If you were Jerick McKinnon, about 2 minutes left in the game, do you take the risk of the Eagles getting the ball back, marching down the field, scoring a touchdown, and maybe going for 2, but they probably don't in that spot. They kick the PAT if they score, and then you go to overtime. Do you take that risk? You could potentially lose the game, or do you say and go down, or do you just go, yeah, I'm not going to go down, and I want the glory. I'm going for the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl and hope my defense can make a stop.
No, and I don't think any player would, you know, if they're in our setting right now where we're talking sports and there's absolutely zero emotion or adrenaline going into it. Yeah, you're saying, yeah, that's the smart play. Go down, kick a chip shot field goal, and give them absolutely zero time to do anything. But when there's 80,000 fans, the adrenaline, you're playing in the Super Bowl, and you have all that adrenaline flowing, emotion flowing. Do you see the end zone right there? You're getting ready to throw that ball into the first row and do the gritty or do something else, flex those muscles.
I'm not throwing that ball in the front. I'm keeping that football.
It would be tough to not go down, but rationally, yes, I would go down. I don't know, man. It's tough to put in that situation until you're actually in it.
I would say, sorry, Andy.
So you know for a fact.
I'm in the end zone. I'm taking the touchdown. We got a defense. Chris Jones, defensive player of the year candidate. Go make a play. I want to be known as the guy that wins and then, as the game-winning touch on the Super Bowl.
And then the only thing you can't trust as far as you could throw them is the officials, and Hurts throws a 70-yard Hail Mary, and they call pass interference, and they get an untimed down.
Then I'm never allowed back in Kansas City again. That's the gamble that you take. All right, you'll hear from Kyrie Irving next. Ugh,
we really have to play this audio for you because you know me. I love Kyrie Irving.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Kyrie Irving now with the Dallas Mavericks after basically telling the Celtics, oh, yeah, I'll be there as long as you guys want me there. And, oh, yeah, Brooklyn, this will be the last stop in my career. Bleep, because Kyrie's a cancer in the locker room. He's a bad teammate. He only cares about himself, and he's a royal pain in the ass, and he's his own worst enemy. I made the comparison last week. I'll make it again this week. Kyrie Irving is kind of similar to Antonio Brown in terms of you could go to a new spot and be very effective for a short time. And no one's taken away anything from the talent of AB and the talent of Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is a marvelous player, but it will end poorly because Kyrie Irving, like Antonio Brown, is a ticking time bomb just waiting to explode. He was unhappy at the end with LeBron. For whatever reasons, unhappy in Boston, unhappy in Brooklyn, a destination that he picked, and he basically got to make every decision with Kevin Durant. And I guarantee you this, this offseason, he'll probably sign an extension with the Mavericks, and then shortly after that extension at some point, Dallas will regret the decision because he always finds a way to stab teammates and stab organizations in the back. So, Kyrie Irving was talking to Dallas media the other day. It's about a minute long. Kyrie Irving doesn't want to talk about his contract future because he is a free agent at the end of the year.
I would love to just have a respect of you guys and everybody the rest of the season of just like continuously asking me that because it just puts unwarranted distractions on us and our team. And I've dealt with it before, and it's very emotionally draining to ask questions like, what's the long term? What's the long term? What is it? But I will say that from the start of when I came here, there's been nothing but a warm embrace, nothing but genuine love, and nothing but a familiarity of relationships that I could really look to in times of questioning or confusion. I could always go to these guys or the ladies in our front office or people that have really made themselves available since I landed in Dallas. So there's just a positive note there. And just taking it one day at a time. That's all I could do in this life. And what the future holds is really only going to be dictated on what I do right now and how I prepare for those next steps. And that's being the best teammate I can in that locker room, being a great leader out here within the Dallas community, within the NBA, and just continue to be myself and develop. So I think just putting that to bed and just focus on what we have ahead as a team.
So let me say this about Kyrie. One thing I do respect about Kyrie, there's a lot in the charity world. So that I can respect. And I respect the idea of the answer that he gave. But if you know anything about Kyrie Irving, and maybe he's learning, I can't give him the benefit of the doubt. Because he was the one that got up in front of the Boston crowd and said, I want to be here as long as you have me. And now he can't stand Boston, and it was all his fault. And Brooklyn, this will be my final stop. And now he's no longer in Brooklyn, and it's his own fault. So if you're going to give that basically kind of idea out there to the media, don't ask me. I would appreciate if you don't ask me about my future. I'm not going to answer anything about it, and I don't want it to be a distraction from the team like you're doing your teammates a big favor there. Okay, fine, I could respect that. But then you shouldn't be bringing up your future after today, and also you shouldn't have people close to you leaking things out about you because there's always something that gets leaked to Shams Charania about Kyrie Irving when conveniently he's looking for a new contract. And Kyrie, you put your own foot in your mouth for the last several years. So all I ask from Kyrie is if you're going to have that energy and have that thought about not talking about your contract and no one can ask about it for the rest of the season until you become a free agent, I don't want you leaking things out there, or I don't want there being a report, oh, Kyrie Irving seems frustrated, because you don't want to talk about your future and you don't want to have any discussions about the future and the contract right now. So, okay, I could respect that. But then on the other end, you got to hold up your end of the bargain. And I guarantee you this, if the Mavericks have any hesitance to give Kyrie Irving a long-term deal down the road, then it will get ugly. Because whenever you mess with his money or whenever he doesn't get what he thinks he's deserving of pay, then it always ends ugly. And that's been the same idea about Kyrie year in and year out. And him saying, oh yeah, I want to be this great teammate. You've been a horrible teammate. Like I give him a pass. He wanted to leave LeBron and won a championship, wanted to go be his own star. That's fine. But he was a bad teammate in Boston. He was a horrible friend to Kevin Durant. And he always spins it as if he's the victim. He was the one that got taken advantage of. Like, you and KD made every decision in Brooklyn. You guys ruined, right? That organization. You look at what happened in Boston. They've actually been better without you. So we could all acknowledge you're a great player, but so far until you prove otherwise, you've been a crappy teammate. And that's just the truth of the situation. You could say, oh, I'm a hater. You could say, oh, this is like, I used to own Kyrie Irving gear. I even have two Kyrie shirts still in my closet. But I'm not a fan of Kyrie Irving anymore because he burns down the house and then goes, oh, it was someone else that burned down the house. It wasn't me. I did nothing wrong. And I just can't respect someone like that. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.